Don't be so pretentious. Can anybody tell me what pretension is? Pretentious? Might look it up. It's a good Google word. Look up. That's kind of, I don't know, might be like unworthy haughtiness, unworthy grandiose ideas and thoughtfulness and things like that. You're so pretentious. You're so pretentious. There are countless, as we speak, countless services going on, being broadcast out onto the airwaves, including this one, out on Facebook, out on YouTube, TikTok, and, you know, Twitter, and all kinds of places. And we do that. We'll do that, particularly even on a Father's Day. You know, a lot of dads probably just sitting at home and going to watch, right? It kind of happens like, it was a big explosion like during the pandemic time, right? All of a sudden, because nobody was coming to church, everybody had to get into this, right, media frenzy of trying to promote and do all that kind of stuff. And every praise team needed to, you know, become a audio, video, you know, expert and engineer, and everyone needed a sound engineer, and we needed video guys, and every preacher became a televangelist. And if you continue reading through some of the passages there in 2 Corinthians, I'm wondering if Paul would have made for a good televangelist. He wrote differently than he spoke. I mean, he wrote some really good books, you know, but to hear him speak, put you right out, man. And it seems, once again, he's dealing with these folks in Corinth, these group of people and church fellowship, dealing with his critics again. He has this ongoing relationship with these folks that, while many continue to follow and encourage him, there are persistent persuaders trying to undermine him and question everything that he's doing, even questioning the authority of Paul. They challenge everything that he kind of sets up and tries to do. And they question, does he even have authority at all? And by what authority does he speak? And Paul writes this: by the humility and gentleness of Christ, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I am away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect I need to be with some of you who think that we live by the standards of the world. See, there's this nature of the battle. That's your first one. There's this nature of the battle that's taking place in the spiritual warfare idea. Paul's responding to these allegations that he somehow is not an authoritative person because he speaks calmly in the midst of people violently disagreeing with him or trying to undermine him or question his authority. I'm speaking to you with humility and gentleness. In fact, he is kind of begging them, and he hopes and pleading with them that he doesn't have to be bold with them when he's there in his presence. I hope that when I am with you face to face, I don't have to be as bold as I am in my letters. He's begging them that they would repent and stop with all the accusatory tones and all the accusations, all the false claims and gossiping. These are the people that are trying to put others down so that they can lift themselves up. And listen, these are people in the church. In the church. Paul was probably, more than likely, pretty unimpressive. Probably not physically intimidating anyway, probably physically unintimidating. And isn't this the model of Jesus? Jesus had complete authority. Jesus had supreme rule. Yet there was nothing about him that should even draw you to him in his appearance as a man. Philippians writes it this way: in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to even be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient, even unto death, death upon a cross. Instead of demanding respect, instead of demanding obedience, you know, both Jesus and Paul, they act in ways of submission. They act in ways of servanthood towards others. Instead of cutting people down, maybe we should follow Jesus' example. Paul, in all his power, being Christ-like. Are we following a Christ-like example in our own lives? Do we walk in the ways of Christ, or do we walk in the ways of the world? Do we exhibit anger and jealousy, greed and envy, or humility and gentleness? See, the best thing a father can do is be an example to their kids. And I scratched that off in my writing. I scratched that right off. So the best thing a father can do is be an example to their kids. No, 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 no. You are an example to your kids. Period. You are an example. Don't know what kind of example, but you're an example. And so what would attract you even to a preacher? What would attract you to someone like a Paul, or, you know, that you'd wander around and follow Jesus? I mean, what would attract you to the preacher? The content of the message or the style of his clothes? The depth of the sermon or how many books he wrote? What would attract you? The ability to talk with him, meet with the pastor, talk with a priest, or leave me a message, maybe I'll call. I've watched a lot of preachers preach. I've watched a lot of teachers teach, and I've learned many things. And some things I've learned what not to do. Like a lot of dads, I've learned what not to do. And just because I yell the loudest doesn't make me the most powerful. Just because I can raise my voice and everybody can hear doesn't make me the most authoritative. Just because I point my finger doesn't make me the most influential. Just because I can talk in tongues doesn't make me the most spiritual. You want to experience the Lord Jesus Christ? Try some humility. Try some servanthood. Try some tenderness and sacrifice. Get off your high horse of judgment and your spiritual superiority and love. Love the unkind. Love those that would persecute you. Love those that will talk bad about you. Love those that speak against you. Love your neighbor. Love your church family. Love your coworker. Paul's pleading here with the Corinthian church. Who are you even listening to? Who is persuading you? Who is taking your eyes away from the things of Christ? That you would gaze upon the things that don't matter. That you would gaze upon the things of the world. That you would gaze upon the things that are divisive. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect toward people who think that we live by the standards of this world. Do you think I live by the standards of this world? Do you? Are you holding me to the standards of this world? What this world thinks is so wonderful? What this world thinks is so spiritual? What this world thinks is so powerful? What this world thinks is so persuasive? Did I wear the wrong pants today? What are you looking at? Is my haircut not right? Do you value the things of the flesh more than you value the things of the Spirit of God? We walk differently, or at least we're supposed to walk in some humility and gentleness and friendliness and cheerfulness and consideration of others. You will reap what you sow. Test for echo. Life is an echo. You scream at it, it's going to scream back. The measure you use upon others will be placed upon you. Paul is really, he's sowing some good seeds. He's sowing some good seeds into some people's lives if they'll just listen. And he's asking them, hey, you know what? Other people are sowing seeds too. Which ones are taking root in your life and in your brain, in your mind? That you would, well, the other seeds being tossed out to them are in judgment of him. Not wise. They're not humble. They're not kind. They're self-centered and self-seeking. They're ambitious. If it's not true, if it's not kind, and it's not necessary, don't say it. Don't say it. Melinda told me that many, many, many years ago. I must have said something that I shouldn't have said. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Then don't say it. David what? Oh, that from a Daily Bread. Read your Daily Bread. Those are pretty good places. See, Paul's not out to elevate himself. He's not out trying to market himself by cutting someone else down. He's not trying to point out their flaws or their sins. He's not even trying to fight for his rights. He's not even trying to get them to really obey him and follow him. He's trying to get them to follow Christ. Be like Christ. And if there's anything that you see in me that imitates Christ, well, then imitate me. Of course, I'm following Christ. And here's another word that a lot of people struggle with, and I've made a lot of people mad by suggesting it to them. You know, it wouldn't hurt you. What's that? A little meekness. Meekness? Yeah. You're so pretentious, maybe a little meekness wouldn't hurt you. And meekness is only gained in spiritual maturity. And the meek shall inherit the earth. Do you know that the meek shall inherit the earth is both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? It's only arrived when the spirit becomes more developed and more mature. See, meekness is not weakness. Don't mistake my meekness for weakness. I am not weak. In fact, I have all the power required to fill you up or tear you down. So my meekness is all my power under control. And I'll choose, I'll decide, I can make it happen. I could cut you up into 1,000 little pieces, or I could praise you and elevate you to a new place. Meekness is all the power you possess under control. Some people can't control their tongue. You haven't developed enough yet. Some people can't control their lust. You still have got a ways to grow. Some people can't control their greed and control their anger. You're out of control. There's no meekness about you. You think that you're demonstrating power and demanding respect and showing spiritual dominance when all you have done is demonstrate your weakness to the flesh. There's a natural battle going on. There's a human nature and a spiritual nature. And though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. What does that even mean? We better get a hold of it. A little meekness wouldn't hurt you. Understanding the power that you possess and who you are in Christ. And it's all under control to build others up. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power, power from on high to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, here's the focus of the battle. There's your next one. There's this focus to the battle. Though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. See, are you engaging the world in its battle for power and for authority and its self-righteousness and battling for the ways of the world, that the ways of the world would dominate? You know, I've said it 1,000 times, the eagle does not fight the snake on the ground. He elevates it and takes him to a different place, takes him out of his element. The eagle grabs the snake, takes him high, takes the snake out of his element and so that the eagle has the advantage. See, are you trying to fight the world with worldly weapons? debate the world all day long. Debate, 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 argue, 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 nothing gained. Are you fighting the world's way? Have they brought you down to the level of the snake when you're an eagle, baby? Why are you fighting down here with this? Are you going to take this to a higher plane? Are you going to take this fight to a different realm? Are you going to take this battle into a spiritual place? Understand the nature of the battle. The nature of the battle is spiritual. And then you'll have the right focus of the battle. And then you'll be able to win those battles. Because you recognize you're not fighting flesh. You're fighting the spirit. You're fighting the stronghold. Christ would take every fight into the spiritual. He'd take every confrontation into the spiritual. He'd take every debate and every conversation into a spiritual realm. You want to be like Christ? Fight like Christ. I hear some people say, listen, you're gonna have to fight like hell to get out of there. You're going to have to fight like hell to win that battle. Fight like hell? Hell's a loser. Hell is gone. Hell is done. Hell is defeated. Hell is beaten back. I don't want to fight like hell. Hell loses. I want to fight like Christ. Christ has the victory. Fight the way Jesus fought. You'll gain eternal victories. Fight the way Jesus fought. You'll defeat the enemy. Defeat Satan. Defeat the demons. Fight the way Jesus fought. You'll overcome temptation. Fight the way Jesus fought. You'll take things to a spiritual realm, a higher plane, and you'll crush people's strongholds. The weapons we use to fight this battle make all the difference, particularly when you're in a confrontation or someone's really kind of whacked out in the ways of the world. You can't talk to them in the ways of the world. They're stuck in the world. You got to try to bring them to another place, point them to the cross, point them to something that's more powerful. Some of the things we have to do, pray like Isaiah, obey like Daniel, lead like Moses, serve like Joshua, repent, believe like Mary, repent like David, build like Noah, love like Jesus. Those are spiritual weapons. Pray and obey and lead and serve and believe and repent and build. You can't blow up depression with a hand grenade. You can't kill unforgiveness with an AK-47. You will not eliminate racism with a smart bomb. Conventional weapons do not work. Earthly weapons do not work in the spiritual realm. You can't destroy lust with a Tomahawk cruise missile. You can't eliminate greed with an AK-47 or a bumper stock rifle. Earthly weapons are useless. You can't argue away hatred on Facebook. You won't eliminate immorality with a pleasant picture of Jesus on TikTok. You're fighting the way the world fights. Evil is expanding continuously all around this planet, growing in the hearts and minds of individuals. And the Lord is pretty clear. He's told you, it's coming. It's coming. Yet, God. Oh, it's coming. Yet, God. God has been preparing his people for such a time. God has instructed his people for such a time. Don't get bogged down in the weeds of distraction. Don't get your wheels spinning on useless methods of warfare. We need to grab hold of our spiritual weapons, lock and load, and crush strongholds. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. Well, then what are they? If you don't know, your arsenal is pretty much empty. You better know what your spiritual weapons are, because they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We take down strongholds. So what's a stronghold? What's a stronghold? Is a stronghold good or is a stronghold bad? In this context, it seems like it's kind of bad. See, a stronghold is a fortified place that can withstand attack. Like a fortress. You got a stronghold. You got a stronghold on this. It's a fortress. Fortress for protection. And listen, people protect a lot of different things, don't they? They put up strongholds all the time. This is the way Jesus describes it. Luke 11, he gives a kind of an example. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. When a strong man, a stronghold, you got a stronghold, armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger comes along, and attacks and overpowers him, he takes away all the armor in which the man trusted and divides the plunder. You see, a stronghold is like, I got a fort, this is my possessions. I got all my possessions and I'm protecting them. And I'm strong enough to protect them until what? Someone stronger comes along and takes my possessions, right? You know what else is in my possession over here? My greed and my lust. And you know what I do? I protect it. I protect all my greed, I protect all my lust, I protect all my stuff until someone stronger comes along. But Jesus is a pretty kind guy. You want to stand there and protect your anger and protect your lust and protect your greed? I never knew you. I never knew you. The strong man puts up strongholds. He fortifies all his possessions. You got strongholds in your household filled with valuables, anger and bitterness and resentment and rage and unforgiveness. All this stuff that you're harboring, holding on to, you need to let it go. Because there's something and someone stronger in your life trying to break down the strongholds that you hold on to so that you can be free. You see, a lot of people are protecting themselves and protecting the things that they have when they're really things they ought to get rid of. But somehow you feel as if you're righteous and strong. You're not. Somehow you feel that you can stand in your pride and your arrogance and you can do the, you're not. God will take you out. Who's stronger, you or God? Who's stronger, you or the enemy? You, if you have God. Otherwise, you will be wiped out. Want to know one of the weapons that you can use? God's word. God's word. Your spiritual battle, you'll need to know the word of God. You're going to need to believe it. You'll need to receive it, and you'll need to live it. Believe it, receive it, right? Receive it, believe it, live it. You have to walk it. Otherwise, you're just a stronghold in your own household trying to protect whatever it is you're afraid to let go of. I was watching this crazy movie the other day. It was a horror flick, and so the guy holds up a crucifix. And so he's trying to ward off the demon or like the vampire that's coming at him or whatever. Back. And he's holding up the cross. That demon just walks right up to him. You have to believe in it for it to work. And just melts the cross and eats his head. Until someone stronger comes along, baby. Just quoting the word of God may not be enough to claim your victory. You might have to believe it. You might have to live it. You might have to walk it. You're going to need to have faith and trust and belief and devotion to it. We're also going to need the power of prayer. There's another spiritual weapon that is not utilized nearly as much as it could be or as it should be. I even talked about that last week. People, will you pray for me, Pastor? Will you pray for me, Pastor? Are you asking me to pray for you instead of you praying for you? Are you asking me to pray with you or are you asking me to pray instead of you praying for you? You got it all wrong, baby. That's a spiritual battle taking place and I'm willing to work and come alongside and fight with you in prayer. But if you're not going to pray, I'm not the leader in your household, Dad. We need the power of prayer in our battles. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. Let's get to work. Listen, I want to thank all those people that are part of, I call them a SWAT teams, Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. SWAT team, right? They're the spiritual weapons and tactics. They pray with us several times a week. Listen, and if you're not praying, you're not engaging in the nature of the battle. All you're doing is complaining about the ways of the world. You're not overcoming anything. You just seem like you're stuck in the world. You're not overcoming the world. Jesus said you can overcome this world. You should overcome this world. I have peace that transcends all understanding. Where are you at? You're down with the snake. I made you an eagle. And if you're not using the word of God, you're not engaging properly in the nature of the battle. Your focus is all wrong. You're focused on other things. Here's your next slide. See, you say you believe, but you don't do the things believers do. Away from me, I never knew you. You're still engaged in the world, trying to fight by the ways of the world. Fight smarter. Fight spiritually. Use your spiritual weapons. Demolish the arguments. Crush the strongholds. Take captive every thought that holds itself up against Christ. Listen, and these are not just your thoughts that come to you against Christ. These are other people's thoughts that are coming toward you, trying to influence you, trying to impact you, trying to challenge you and change you, just like Paul's dealing with. There's a lot of stuff the world's going to try to mix in and mix up and confuse it all and present it in a beautiful little package. Maybe he wears better pants. Maybe he sounds a little better. Maybe he looks better on TV. Maybe they sound a little bit better. But what's their message? What are they trying to tell you? What are they trying to fill you with? Take captive the thoughts that other people are throwing at you. The enemy works where there is fear. The enemy works where there is worry and doubt and pride and lust and hate and guilt and shame and anger. The enemy is at work in bitterness and self-pity and hatred and depression and conflict and impatience, selfishness, meanness, doubt, rudeness, lust, sexual immorality, division, and even self-righteousness. The hardest time Jesus had with was those people that thought they were all religious and close to God. And you won't love your brother, you're far, far away from the heart of God. The enemy wants you to fight here. He wants you to fight with all this hate and bitterness and division. And he wants it, and as if you're getting somewhere with your rudeness. Take the fight somewhere else. You take the fight somewhere else. You take the fight somewhere else. The enemy has a hard time getting a stronghold. The enemy has a hard time getting a foothold where there's peace. The enemy has a hard time getting a foothold where there's joy, patience. The enemy can't get a stronghold where there's kindness. Too much kindness going on around here, people. Too much kindness. Enemy can't get a foothold. People are loving each other and kind to each other and gentle towards each other. And they're meek. Man, do they possess power, all under control. Don't give the enemy a stronghold. Don't give the enemy a foothold. You use your spiritual weapons. Self-control, gentleness. It sounds almost like, I don't know, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Wow. In the midst of chaos, you display the Holy Spirit. In the fruits of the Spirit, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the lies, in the midst of the deceit, in the midst of the argument, there you are, kind, patient, meek. I got all the power needed to take you out. It takes all the power I got not to slap you across the face. Yeah. Yeah. That's power. Because other people, they just slap you across the face. Just blurt whatever's in their mouth. They just like to, and they just let it go. Be careful about what's being thrown up in front of you. This is Paul saying, you be careful what these people are saying to you. And I don't even know that he really cares if they say stuff about him. But when you start talking about changing the gospel, changing the way Jesus loved people, and you think it's, you got another thing coming, brother. And these are the battles we can win if we fight right. If we recognize that the war is spiritual and we focus on the spiritual, we will overcome physical with the spiritual. You focus on the spiritual, you'll overcome the flesh. You focus on the spiritual, you'll overcome the darkness. You'll overcome the fear. You overcome the hatred and the shame and the anger if you focus on the spiritual. If you focus on the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the gentleness and the self-control. See, faith, hope, trust, and love, spiritual words. Spiritual words. They're not words of the world. Faith, hope, trust, love, spiritual words that hold spiritual power, that overcome things like depression and hatred and self-pity and bitterness and lust and pride and hate and guilt. Are you walking in the ways of Christ or are you walking in the ways of the world? And the results of our efforts, that when we make these efforts, when we try to stand as strong as we can, I'm using all the meekness I can because everything inside me just wants to crush you and slap you and hurt you. All my flesh just wants to lay it out before you, and I'm self-controlled. I'm not walking in the flesh. I'm walking by the ways of the Holy Spirit of God. And the results of those efforts will be strongholds are broken and taken down. There's love instead of fear. There's assurance instead of doubt. There's a sound mind instead of all the confusion and misunderstanding. There's calmness instead of panic. There's hope instead of worry. There's forgiveness instead of guilt. Walk in the ways of the Spirit. The rewards are eternal, and the rewards begin now. 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 Faithfulness in the spiritual battle brings spiritual victory. Now watch, here's your next one. Don't judge others by their appearances. Man, that can be kind of tough, because we all do it. And some are writing, this is verse 10, his letters are weighty and forceful. You know, Paul's writing is just, it's so heavy and it's so forceful. But in person, he's unimpressive. And his speaking amounts to nothing. This is what they're talking about Paul. Unimpressive. Whenever he speaks, amounts to nothing. They're suggesting he's even unfit. He's not what we need as a church leader. He's not charismatic enough. Certainly doesn't look good on Facebook. Did he even shave today? We look at outward appearances all the time. It's so worldly. It's so worldly. Don't we do it? We do it. We're full of the flesh because we live in the world. But don't wage war as the world does. We look, we make a judgment. Anybody ever, you know, pass judgment like that? I can give you several examples when I've done that. How about this? Anyone ever passed judgment on you and been incorrect? Passed judgment on you and said, oh, well, I thought you were like really something else, or I thought you were, right? No, they pass judgment on you all the time, right? First impressions. People been wrong about you. I've been wrong about people. So I learned to just not do it, right? How about this one? So, honey, when are you due? I'm not pregnant. Yeah, every man does that once. Right? I've learned I cannot make a spiritual judgment. I can't make a physical flesh judgment. I can't make a spiritual judgment on someone based on their outward appearances. Some of the most interesting, faithful people I ever met in my entire life had nothing. When I say nothing, they didn't even have two shoes. They'd have one shoe and one t-shirt that's ripped that they've been wearing for months now. And their children played with empty tuna cans on a stick. That was their toy. But the faith, oh, when they prayed, put me to shame. See, here's your next one. Judging a person, it doesn't really define who they are. It defines who you are. This is what Paul's trying to communicate to them. Watch the depths and to the depths of his words. We dare not classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. I'm not comparing myself to them who compare themselves to themselves, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. So who are you listening to? Who's invading this precious little mental cavity of yours that you begin to buy into this comparison, that you begin to buy into this deceit, that you begin to buy into the ways of the world? Because I certainly would not compare myself nor tear them up. And this is all about them tearing Paul down so that they may be exalted and lifted up. See, Paul would not dare to be so unspiritual as to compare himself with another worker in Christ, if they in fact are workers for Christ. And what does that really say about the spiritual health of people, or even those that are leading or trying to lead, that they compare themselves with themselves? It's not wise. It's unwise, he says, for you to even listen to them. They sound wise, but they lack knowledge. They speak with force, but they lack really the Holy Spirit's power. They lack meekness. They dress for success, but success in the world, as the world views them, as the world would perceive them. Do you judge by appearances? He would also write, "We, however, do not boast beyond proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the sphere of service that God himself has assigned us to." How are you doing in your household? And you're looking at the other households going, judge, 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 and that's terrible, and that's wrong. And then you look in your own household and go, I got my own work to do. Yeah, you got your own work to do. What's influencing you? What's persuading? Why are you looking out there? Why don't you bring some spirituality into your own home? The sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. So he's really saying, listen, all that God has done is including you. All that I've done includes your spiritual maturity. It includes you. Why are you listening to them saying that what I'm doing is no good? That means you. Who are you listening to? See, the enemy likes to confuse you and confine you and turn you around. And he likes you to build up some strongholds so you'll hold on to those thoughts. You'll hold on to the bitterness and the resentment and the anger. Until someone stronger comes along and can break it down. And his name is Jesus Christ. We will not take credit for any work not done by us. You are our work. What are they talking about? I don't know what work they've got, but they're talking to you about the work that we've got going on. Our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand. This is our hope. Our hope is that your faith will continue to grow and that your sphere of activity continues to greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in regions that even go beyond you. What are you judging? Get busy being about Christ-likeness. You're getting bogged down with all the snakes when God has made you an eagle. And there's a place of the battle. There's your next one. What are you focused on? It's so easy to get bogged down in the blame game. Get caught up in the world. Well, I don't like that pastor. He doesn't wear the right headset. His glasses aren't right. His hair's a mess. He doesn't, whatever. The carpet's not right. The wrong color in the sanctuary. He doesn't have enough lights. The screens are too small. What are you focused on? I hope that when you walk in here, you're seeking Jesus. You're looking for Jesus. So the reason I come here, I'm just looking for Christ. I'm looking for what he's going to do. I'm hoping that he's going to change lives and transform lives. I hope he's going to expand my mind. Tell me more about who he is. Show me that I can love the world that seems so unlovable, that I can be a light in the midst of the darkness. That's all, listen, in the church. In the church. He's talking about people in the church. Wake up, church. This is where we live. This is where we practice. This is how we do it. If you can't do it here, distractions are everywhere. Distractions are in this church. People will test you. People will challenge you. People in this church will rub you the wrong way with their sense of humor. I did not approve any dad jokes, but I'm glad we got some. Because it's not my church. We're the body of Christ. He's the head. The place of the battle. Where can you go where it isn't? Because it's in your head. The place of the battle is in your mind. It's in your home. It's in your church. It's in the world. What's your perception of the battle? Your perception of the battle is dealing with all the snakes? Well, you need to take it to another level. Are you judging correctly? Are you focused on more than your feelings? New Life Alliance, let's stay focused. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's keep preaching Jesus. Let's keep teaching Jesus. Are you with me? Are you with me? Give me an amen. Amen. Keep soaping together. Keep praying together. Keep encouraging one another. Keep loving on one another. Keep forgiving one another. Some are going to walk with us. Some are going to walk away. Some are going to test the limits of your love and your grace. The Holy Spirit's going to shine brightly through us. We'll be a beacon of light into a dark world. Jesus will be the place of our refuge. He is our healer. Grace is manifested in him. Wisdom is gained through him. We will not be distracted, nor detoured, nor delayed. We will keep on keeping on serving God. At least that's what I'm going to do, even if I'm all by myself and the road gets narrower and narrower and narrower and my companions get fewer and fewer and fewer. I'm focused on Christ. I know the places of the battle are in my head, and I'm going to practice the fruits of the Spirit in my life. We will not be put aside or sidelined. We will not quit. We will not give up, and we will not step back. We will pursue the cause of Christ. We will push beyond worldly limitations. We will proclaim that Jesus is coming again. Are you with me? We will rise up supernaturally. We will overcome all weapons that are fashioned against us. We will serve tirelessly, pray unashamedly, worship inspirationally. We will gather here, there, and everywhere all around the world, and we will have influence in regions that go way beyond us. And listen to me carefully. We will overcome evil, and demons will flee from your presence simply because of the Holy Spirit of God that fills you up. And the way in which you walk, demons flee. Strongholds get broken. And we will witness the death and destruction of Satan himself. Do you understand? Vaporized in the lake of fire, the end of all evil. And we will dwell in a new heaven and a new earth where there is no more pain, no more war, no more bitterness, no more anger. Bring it, Lord. I'm waiting. And we will celebrate in victory. Now, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself that's approved, but the one whom the Lord commends, the one the Lord blesses, the one the Lord watches over. And it's the Lord who raises us up. It's the Lord that gives us triumph. It's the Lord that gives us favor. It's the Lord that will bless all of our efforts. It's the Lord that will fight our battles. Listen, follow Christ. Use spiritual weapons. Don't judge too quickly. Allow God to be God. Can I get an amen on that? Father in heaven, in this place, this moment, I pray that you would work mightily within each and every one of us. Father, those who would say, I'm a Christian, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Father, that we can utilize and understand what that means, the power that we possess. Father, to overcome and to walk in peace and righteousness, to be able to walk, Father, without anger, to overcome all that the enemy wants, and to, Father, break down strongholds and all the places that you have vanquished in our lives, Father. I pray that there might be more. Father, we need freedom. We need freedom in your spirit to live as you desire for us to live in this place. Give us the power to succeed. And Father, thank you so very much for the way in which you continue to minister and to each and every one of our lives. Bind us together that we would honor you, serve you. Father, we come before you in the name that is above all names, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, his name. Amen.